Hey guys, it's a Hero for Epileptics. Thank you for joining us. This is a special podcast. Today is actually Purple Day, and the significance of Purple Day is that it is an international awareness day for epilepsy. And today we are joined by our CEO and founder, Bruno Fiacco. Thank you, Bruno, for joining. And we're also joined by Medic Alert Foundation and special guest, Deanna Verbowens. And she is actually going to be asking Bruno a few questions about his epilepsy and also, you know, how he lives daily and everything like that. And with what's going on right now with COVID-19, we are all pretty much remote. So we had to call, we called her in to join us. So thank you for joining us, Deanna.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me. Hello, Bruno. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm well.
Yeah. So Deanna, why don't you just give us some background on who Medic Alert Foundation is, what you do, and then also what your position is with the organization and what you do pretty much daily.
Okay, that sounds great. So Medic Alert Foundation, we're a 501c3 nonprofit. We are the original creator of the Medical ID 24/7 Emergency Response Service. And actually, we're 64 years old today, so it's wonderful that we can celebrate Purple Day and Medical Alert birthday.
That's great. Yep, happy birthday. Yes, that's right. Yep.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you. The Medical Alert story is touching. A dad, Dr. Marion Collins, needed a way to protect his daughter from a life-threatening allergy. So in 1953, while Dr. and Mrs. Collins were on vacation, their daughter, Linda, 14 years old, cut her finger badly, enough to require a trip to the local hospital. Following standard protocol, the physician on duty, who happened to be Linda's uncle, performed a skin test before injecting Linda with a full dose of a tetanus antitoxin, which contained a horse syrup. Within moments, Linda went into an anaphylactic shock, and the incident nearly killed her. This was really a trying time for the family, so whenever Linda went away from home, Dr. and Mrs. Collins would have Linda wear a paper bracelet describing her allergies. It was a way to protect their daughter. But when Linda went away to college, the Collins knew that they had to protect their daughter. So they went to a local jeweler in San Francisco who designed, along with the Collins family, the first medical ID. They designed the inscription, the medical symbol. So when Linda went to college, a lot of people inquired about her ID and wanted one as well. So that's when Medic Alert was officially born. So our mission is to save and protect lives by sharing information in our members' moments of need. Now, what does that mean? Well, when an individual is wearing a medical ID, a bracelet, necklace, shoe tag, engraved with their medical condition, medication, allergy, and they experience a medical emergency or an accident, a first responder can use the medical ID to understand their medical condition to treat them fast and effectively, so that they'll receive the best possible care in their moment of need. When a medical alert member gets a medical alert membership, you know, you'll gain access to an online health profile that can contain your entire medical history. That can get relayed to a medical team in an emergency, which is super important, as well as a list of all your emergency contacts, because let's be honest, when you're in an emergency, you want a loved one to be alive. And our have an emergency response service is always there for you, wherever you go, whatever you do. And frankly, now more than ever during this coronavirus pandemic, you know, we're here to protect and save lives, and we're going to continue to live that mission for all of those, you know, out there. So for me, as I'm a senior content manager with Medical Alert, I'm interviewing Bruno today because it's an important to the Medical Alert Foundation that we connect with our members, those in the epilepsy community, to learn more about the condition, but more importantly, learn from them how we can improve our outreach, how we can strengthen our community, improve our service, and just learn and grow. So that's where we're at.
Yeah, no, that's great. So I also I work actually with Deanna, so and Bruno and I do have this the epilepsy nonprofit on the side, but I actually do work with her directly. So yeah, it's a really good team with Medic Alert Foundation. We do a lot of good stuff, and I work in the digital arena there too, as well as here. So I know you were going to do ask Bruno some really good questions, and he'll give you more information about, you know, what he goes through day to day with his epilepsy. So why don't you go ahead and, you know, take over, and you and Bruno can get into a convo, with the questions and things like that.
Okay, great. So my first question, Bruno, is just tell us about yourself, your epilepsy, how you manage the challenges on a daily basis, because I'm sure it's not easy, and especially now during this time.
No, it's very much not. All right, so let me start. My epilepsy began in a computer room in 1990 when I was just 10 years old.
Wow.
And when they say not to play games or look at a computer screen for too long, you will have issues later in life or early. The only last thing I remember was falling back on my chair and waking up in a hospital bed, totally naked with a gown on. I had no idea what was going on. So, at 10, when I was diagnosed epileptic, I was lucky to have a strong family, parents, still today, that they were able to pay for my medications, excuse me, hospital visits, but year after year, my conditions worsened and college was extremely difficult, being that as I wasn't driving, I was accepted into St. John's University for 2 years, NYIT, 2 years studying architecture, yet without a car or ride, it was virtually impossible to finish because I was pulled out, never a dropout, by my neurologist twice.
Yeah.
Aww.
And my job began just after 9/11.
Wow.
Was 10 years of staring at a computer screen for insurance, and it was like hell. But the job being down in Soho didn't make my life a bit easier to deal with.
No.
So, I had many hobbies as a child, and as an adult in sports that I would play with the best of friends and cousins who all knew my issues, and if I stopped, they knew a seizure happened, waited it out around me so that I was never hurt from the problem. Yet, as I got older, in my mid-20s, playing got too difficult, and I knew as a child that Nintendo, Sega Genesis, and all others since I never bothered with being a PlayStation or anything like that. So I had a hobby with card collecting, coins, rocks, gems, and minerals. It was so interesting being like a scientist. I loved it so much more than playing video games.
Much safer.
Mm-hmm. And I still have all that today. So, as I go on, what kept me strong and healthy throughout my life is that I was never ashamed or embarrassed of what I had. Only that I wish every day still that no one in my family, friend or foe, even should suffer the consequences that I do. And amazingly, no family or friend has since. So we all deal with what we have, but because nobody knows what tomorrow will bring. In 2010, I had a VNS implanted in me under my left pectoral and a vagus nerve in my lung, which I would go off in a certain time with a certain amount of vibes to try to control my seizure capacity. Yet it always was a burn in my throat with a deeper, hoarse voice than I have now. And I had them shut it off because it never really worked. I tried every medication and a guinea pig twice for testing, new meds for patients to take. And as a recent Lenox Hill test program for 5 days, 50 vials of blood, if not more, have been taken out. And this is because my neurologist knows that I am still young and strong enough to do these certain tests and programs. Now, the RNS device I was told about for 10 years, but it was said that it was still too risky to perform, yet I wanted it to be done because every drug was a failure. And then it took the entire time for me to get the okay insured for a $300,000 surgery.
Wow.
So in December, we finally got to speak to the surgeon with Michelle and my parents about every risk possible, infections that can occur if not taken care of properly. Now, I had just one question to ask them. How soon can we do it? January 14th of this year was chosen.
Very true.
Once home, my parents wanted to talk about it, yet nothing was going to change my mind. Mm-hmm. Once it was done, I didn't even feel a thing, and every doctor and physical therapist tested me and said that I didn't need any physical therapy and I was okay to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, that's brain surgery, just to be clear.
Yeah, so...
it's amazing.
Yes, the RNS device is put not in your brain, but
on top of
your brain.
Wow.
In your temporal lobe, mm-hmm. where most of the seizures occur. So...
Amazing.
It tries to control, all my symptoms. And right now... It's kind of hard to get it back to the doctor, so let me put it up. Let me finish with my story,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll get into that, okay?
Yeah, I can describe what the RNS, too, is more
detail.
So,
at my parents' house, resting with 70 staples on the back of my head, every person that came to see me always said that the same thing to me, that I am the strongest person to do something like that, mm-hmm. something that they could never do, and it was happening, and I was smiling about it. 2 weeks later, of 70 staples, was getting quite annoying and itchy, but if I scratched, or if I would have caused blood, infections, and all kinds of diseases to occur. So it wasn't fun.
Wow.
A surgery that severe, you need to treat yourself like a newborn child with a soft head that could get damaged and crushed if anything happened.
Wow.
On January 28th, they were all pulled out. The staples were all pulled out easily in just 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And all the RNS was placed on my brain, two weeks to start the device up, something I was told took 2 months for all others to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just quickly for the RNS, so this is actually a device they put on the top of your brain. And the battery for that, actually, they remove part of your skull for the battery. And then it has two sets of electrodes. Bruno has four sets of electrodes in his brain. Two of them are activated and attached to the battery. Two of them are in a different part of his brain in case they want to change the electrodes. But the two main places where he has the most seizures are where the electrodes are placed today. The machine is on the lowest level right now. And actually, Bruno has a device. We have to scan his brain. Well, he scans it twice a day. And we upload the data into the cloud so that his neurologist can see all of his seizure activity every day. Yeah.
NeuroPace is who makes it. The company who makes it.
Make the device, yeah, NeuroPace.
NeuroPace. So they gave me a nice, beautiful laptop, a wand. They call it, you place a wand, whatever you had, get to see it, and they take all the data.
Right.
And just transfer the data over to them once it's completed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for the next time we go to the doctor, they'll keep adjusting. Right now they're adjusting the settings on it, so because we're picking up like other noises or other seizures that might not really what we want to focus on. We want to focus on the bigger seizures, and eventually they'll do that. And the other thing they gave him was this emergency magnet that if he has a seizure, I use it and I put it against his head and I kind of roll it down his head to stop the seizure.
Like a swap it
yeah,
across.
It's almost like an emergency pill. And it slows it down and stops it. Yeah, so that's what the RNS is. So we're interested. And we're glad he got it done in January because now with coronavirus, all those elective type surgeries have been canceled because of the surge of hospital visits and there's no beds and availability. So he's happy that he got it because he would have had to wait who knows how long to actually get it implanted. And then we wouldn't be where we are today with more hope and more, you know, opportunity with it. So yeah, so that's where we are now, right?
Yeah,
it's good. Yeah. So I know, Dan, you had some more questions for Bruno?
Sure. When were you first introduced to Medical Alert, and how long have you been a member?
Well, once Michelle started, back in November of 2018, and I started in the beginning of the new year, 2019.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. And, why is Medical Alert important to you?
Medical Alert is important to me because it keeps people aware of your problems and issues and what to do and who to call if you're alone.
That's good. Do you wear your bracelet daily?
Every day. I don't even take it off.
Yeah, he never takes it
I
off.
I never take it off.
Yeah, he didn't even want to take it off in the hospital when he had the surgery. He's like, do I have to take it off? I don't want to. He wanted to leave it on. He wanted to leave that on in his cross that he wears. He did not want to take it off.
Well, you have to take it all off.
Yeah, but I had to take it, so. Yeah, I had to take it off. But, I mean, we changed it for the medical bracelet, the hospital bracelet. And then when we were leaving the hospital, I made sure that he put his Medical Alert ID back on before we even left the hospital. Yeah. So he was back, yeah.
There's something else about epilepsy that I want to talk to you about.
Yeah.
So now, and epilepsy, now we see the proof because when we go to my doctor's appointments, we can see what I've been telling people for the longest time, that every time I take a shower or, you know,
close your eyes.
Every time I close my eyes or try to take a nap, many things happen that people have no idea of what's going on in your brain.
Wow.
So now this, the one that they have, they put it next to a computer and they can see all the activity that's going on in your brain when your eyes are open. Everything looks clear. Once you close your eyes, it's like hell on earth.
Wow.
You see the craziest stuff happening. Mm-hmm. I've told people so many times, if I close my eyes, you try to make me take a nap, it's going to be a problem. Yet no one ever believed me, and now there's so much proof behind it.
Right.
Now I wear goggles in every shower that I take to try to keep my eyes open as long as I can. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. It's very hard, but something that really needs to be done.
Yeah.
So if you're epileptic out there, try to keep your eyes open because otherwise it's going to be very painful for you.
Yeah, and one way we prove that was at the doctor's office when they had the device against his head, the wand. Yeah, the device was showing on the iPad. It was showing an increase. All of a sudden, it was shooting up. With the lines were going crazy when he closed his eyes. And as soon as he opened them, it calmed back down. So the doctor's like, try to wear goggles in the shower, which he's like, I know it sounds weird, but he's like, a lot of patients are just like him that have the same kind of focal epilepsy, which is very sensitive to, you know, light and all these other kinds of things. So he's been doing it. It's been helping. So he doesn't he still has sometimes a seizure in the shower, but it's not, you know, it's just because he might be having a seizure, not because of, you know, his eyes bothering him or closing them. Yeah. So, you know, it's these little things that you have to learn, like the triggers. There's a lot of triggers. So once you figure out some of the triggers, you can kind of prevent some things, or you're more... you can kind of, what do you call it? You almost like more prepared to deal with that.
You can be aware of things.
Yeah.
More things if you keep your eyes open.
Right. Right. You're focused more.
Yes, you're more focused. And like, yeah, just, I know it might burn a little bit shampooing your hair, but what are you going to do? You're either going to fall and hurt yourself
or have shampoo in your
eyes. Or let your eyes burn. Big deal.
Right.
It's not going to hurt you. I mean, like that.
Yeah, that's
true. The photos I've taken have been so bad. I mean, everybody, every bone in my body, muscle, it hurts. My arms hurt. I'm always jittering like a child, flipping up and down. Mm-hmm. And when they gave me the RNS device, I was like locked down on a bed. Right. And it was very hard to maneuver myself. And every time I just moved a little bit, the sensor would go off and there would be nurses coming in. What are you doing? I'm like, it kind of hurts. I have to move around a little bit.
Right, yeah. Wow.
So in regard to just medical alert in general, would you recommend medical alert to someone with a chronic condition?
Oh, totally. I would recommend medical alert to everyone with a chronic condition so that in your worst case scenario, people will know who you are in case you need help.
Right.
Yeah. Who to call, you know, and all that.
That's great.
Now, I gave myself a second chance in life to live with my wife, and now I don't wish to waste it away with the COVID-19 pandemic.
Right.
I don't want to destroy it so that I must be quarantined and on a lockdown and let it be as long as it has to be.
Yeah,
I
gotta be careful.
Because something like this, it costs so much money and I waited so long for, and it seems to be working. I'm not going to have myself go outside and catch this coronavirus.
No, it's not worth it.
It could be really dangerous, yeah.
Right, and you don't know the risk associated. That's for anyone like with the underlying condition. It's just so important.
Yeah, you don't know.
You know, really protect yourself at this time. And I'm happy that that you recognize that because it's so important.
It is, actually.
Yeah.
I see so many things. I mean, growing up, I always knew, even playing sports, when to stop, you know. And I have three younger brothers, and so he always stayed by my side because if he saw something happening, he would know where to stop, to catch me if I fell. I didn't really fall as a younger child, but I would play, basketball or hockey outside or anything. And if he saw a concern, he was always there to help me.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
And I have three younger siblings, and they're just great. They do great. They're fine. My parents do great. Everyone is, thank God, healthy.
Mm-hmm. Thank God, right?
Yeah. All my cousins, I have three grandparents still. Who has three grandparents? I'm 40 years old.
Yeah, you're right.
That's really good.
That is wonderful.
And Ed and Michelle, so that's four. Four grandparents, and I have all my aunts and uncles. I've only met the two my whole life, just two funerals.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's not normal for an Italian.
Yeah.
No, it's not, but these days it is.
Yeah. I mean,
what's happening in Italy.
Yeah.
It's not fun. I mean, I have so much family in Italy, and it's just not this. Coronavirus is driving us crazy.
Yeah, they say his mother stays in touch with them too to see what's going on.
Yeah.
Is everyone safe?
Everyone's safe. Everyone's safe. They're all inside.
Here or
in Italy?
In Italy?
In Canada, they're safe. Yeah, they're safe. They're just nervous.
I have Canadians that are they don't know what to do because they don't like the lockdown over there.
Yeah, they're safe though.
But they have to grow up. It shouldn't be like, oh my God, what am I gonna do?
Everyone feels like that.
Yeah,
that's how we all feel.
It's hard. You know, what are you
going to
do?
Yeah, so. All right. Did you have any other questions, Deanna? Or was that
I think that's it.
Oh, great. And then where can people go to, A, learn more about Medical Alert Foundation, and B, specifically epilepsy?
Okay, so you can go to medicalalert.org. That's medicalert. .org, and for living with epilepsy, our specific conditions page, you can go to medicalalert.org/living-with-epilepsy.
Okay, great. And I'm going to, for everyone listening, I'm going to actually put those links in the description of the podcast, of this episode, so that you can click on those. Those will be clickable links, and you can go to those pages and check out. And, you know, and also another thing that you'll be able to do is, if you do want to get a bracelet, an ID with your medical information, use code PROTECT, PROTECT25, to get 25% off your purchase of your ID. And that'll be great. You know, get an ID, get a membership, and, you know, this way you have that security with Medical Alert Foundation in case you do have an emergency, and especially during this time, so that you know you're covered or a loved one is covered.
Absolutely.
And the bigger the bracelet, the more information you can put on it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Bruno has a big one. You have a big one. Yeah,
oh,
you
have a lot. I have my name. It says Bruno Fiocco, focal epilepsy. It has my my phone number. And then it says wife. No, it's her number. It says wife, Lenoxville Hospital. And then the numbers they give you on the bottom.
That's your membership.
That's a membership number. And then call. That's Medical Alert's number.
Yeah.
On top. So the bigger you can get, the more you can put.
Mm-hmm. So Deanna, real quick, before we finish the call, why don't you just give people an idea? So if, like, let's say Bruno's just describing the medical ID and there's the number on top, how does that, so if he, let's say, has a seizure and he's by himself, how does it work? Like, what happens? How does someone see that information's on that bracelet? And what happens after?
Well, the individual, a first responder or a good Samaritan, could identify the bracelet on the neck, the arm, even the shoe tag. On the reverse side of the medical of the ID is engraved the actual condition that the individual is living with, any medications, and then we have our 1-800 24/7 emergency response service, where first responder or good Samaritan can call that number and obtain information to get the best possible care for that individual. So first responder will have access to, our team can give them access and relay contact information, conditions, so they can help treat the person. A good Samaritan would get access to, we would be able to be that person and get, you know, call the emergency contact or police or EMS to get this individual help as quickly as they need.
Oh, perfect.
So,
yeah, that's
we're 24/7.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think it's great for people listening to know. So this way, if they're interested, they really get an understanding of what they're getting with the medical ID and with the membership, so that they know, like, okay, that's a lot of stuff and Medical Alert is pretty much the only service that offers that type of 24/7 emergency response team service. You know, so there's other bracelets on the market where they're just selling a medical bracelet or an ID that just says, like, epilepsy, but you don't have any other information on it. So, you know, it's not as easy to help someone.
Yeah, and we were recently at an airport, last year. And at the airport, one of the men that takes the bags, he noticed the ID on me. And he was like, well, you have that? Because he had it on his necklace.
Oh, yeah, the necklace, yeah.
He had the ID on his necklace, and he saw the ID on me. And he was like, wow, that's so cool, because you have one too.
Yeah.
And he was telling me about his condition, because he has the same medical ID on his necklace.
There you go. And there you go, hashtag, I mean, show your ID. There you go.
they know what it is. People see it.
Yeah, no, that's great. Good.
It's awesome.
Yeah, this was, thank you so much, Deanna. This was a great conversation. It's good for everyone to learn about Bruno's epilepsy for Purple Day, especially during this time where, you know, the headlines are pretty much torn with all the COVID 19 and the economy and everything else going on in the world. You know, we do want to make sure that we recognize there are people with conditions that are active every day, that have been active for years, that they're still here dealing with those conditions and worrying about other stuff that's happening now. So it's good that we took a moment to talk to Bruno and then also hear more what Medical Alert does, so that people can also know that there's other safety that they can become members of, that'll also help them have that, like, peace of mind and so forth. Is there anything else you want to say in closing
I just want to say thank you so much for having me. It's so important for us to connect with our members, to understand what they're going through so that we can help. And it was just a pleasure to meet you, Bruno, and Michelle.
Yeah,
well,
thank you.
It was a pleasure to hear from you, too.
Yes.
But I'm really appreciative.
You have a great team. Just that job, it's a wonderful job. And what you do there, it's amazing. It truly is amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
Medic Alert is like the best thing you can do for yourself.
Yeah.
With any condition. Anything.
All right. Thank you so thank you, everyone. Thanks, Bruno, for joining this podcast. And thank you for Deanna. And thank you, Medic Alert Foundation. And we will, like I said, all the information that we just discussed, I will have that posted with the podcast so that anyone interested can go to their website and take a look and, you know, make a purchase, become a member, get yourself an ID, all that good stuff. So thank you so much, everyone. Have a great day.
You too. Have a good day.
Thanks, you too. Thank you.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.